bit. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Happy Father's Day at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And what a day, too, at the ballpark. Before the game today, a whole bunch of dads out there on the field with their sons and daughters playing a game of catch. So memories being made at Camden Yards. And today, on a sultry Sunday, Orioles and the Cardinals about to close out a three-game series. Orioles are trying to make it 2 out of 3 after they won the ballgame last night, 15-7, a game in which they hit a total of 5 home runs. Fun to watch. Buck Showalter with the manager's report right after this.
What else is going on?
Castillo catching again today. Is that because of Ubaldo?
No, not completely. Some of it, but not. That's a very small part of it. You see his numbers off of Lynn, and he's had. We've taken him out of the last two games early. We talked about before the series started to see how it went. I don't know if Cassie wants to catch every game. He doesn't believe in that day game, night game. I don't know. I think there's probably – it has nothing to do with him playing or anything, but I was thinking the other day, the first game, there's got to be a little competitive. You know, a lot of people think that Molina's one of the best defensive catchers, and, you know, going through – if you go around the league, he's going to finish real high up there. I think there's a competitive pride catchers have when you're facing – your counterpart over there. He's catching today, Molina. Of course, he came out in the fifth or sixth inning yesterday. I was glad to see him leave that game.
With O'Day throwing off a mound tomorrow, because he's not that far removed, I mean, his return, will he need to get a couple more pens under his, like, what's the next step after Monday?
I'm not sure. We're going to wait and see how that goes, and then Roger and Richie will sit down with Darren. I think we're kind of, because he's been down this road a few times, kind of lean on him. He knows when he's ready, when he's not, and what's right and what won't play up here. But it'd be nice, you know, to get him and Zach back. You know, we've had a lot of situations that weren't able to stem the tide, so to speak. You know, with one of those guys, you know, we're able to move Mike and some of those guys around to different innings when we've got all four of them. But I was really hoping someone would seize the opportunity they've been given.
You've talked a lot about trying to keep, like, some of the late inning guys out of the league leaders, and that, you know, proud that you have. And when it comes to a guy like Brock, you know, obviously he carried a big load last year in the first half. Is there a fine line, though, between getting, you know, I know you said yesterday that he needed to get in the game. I mean, is there a fine line there between him being rested situations to put him in as well?
That's a big product of it. And Brad's shown, if you get to know a guy like we have over the years, every guy's different. You know, I've had some closers didn't want to come in and get work. They didn't care if they had 10 days off. Some guys, you know, 2 days off. So you got to know each one of them. Zach was different than Brad. And I think with the April that we had and Brad had, that you know, innings are innings at the end of the year. I know where I'd like to have him end up. I know where his safety net is, where his safety point is. And sometimes it can happen, regardless of how you protect him. But, yeah, you do fight that. Okay, how much is too much rest? But Brad's shown this year, especially when he gets a little time, you really get a return for it. I'm comfortable where we are with him, and it's been a challenge. It's been a challenge with him and Mike to you know, I just refuse to do it. I know that other, you know what it's like without Zach and without Darren. Well, think about it without them if you don't protect them. So maybe it looks sometimes like I'm overprotective, but I know what life's like without them. And it's, you know, we don't win that game yesterday in a lot of situations that came up.
There is a game being played this afternoon, and the Orioles and the St. Louis Cardinals in the three-game finale. Ubaldo Jimenez back in the rotation. He gets a start today, and right-hander Lance Lynn is pitching for the Cardinals. In a moment, Mike Bordick will visit with Caleb Joseph, and Chris Davis makes a guest appearance when we continue with the warm-up show right after this.
Well, earlier today, I had the awesome pleasure of being interviewed by Caleb Joseph and actually witnessing an interview by Chris Davis to Caleb Joseph. It was fun stuff today, and that's up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
Hello! Guten Morgen. Today is Chris Davis with Caleb Joseph, the number one, number two, maybe number three catcher for the Orioles, depending on how you look at it. Good morning, Caleb. How are you? Oh, and happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day, Vladimir.
So today we are going to talk about... let's talk about some baseball, yeah? Okay. Yesterday you played one inning in the game. I believe it was the ninth inning. Oh, you didn't. You play half an inning. Okay, not even the whole inning. How do you feel about that?
I contributed the best that I could. We won the game. That's all that matters, eh?
I just, a little birdie told me, is it today und your birthday? Yes?
Yes.
How old are you today? 47?
I am. I'm 22.
Well, congratulations. I feel an awkward presence behind me. So now this part of the interview where you get to ask me any question you want.
Where are you from?
East Texas.
Do you wear cowboy boots and a cowboy hat?
Only when I work out or when I'm working out in the club, yes.
Well, Chris, today's Father's Day. Have you ever hit a Father's Day home run?
Well, of course I've hit a Father's Day home run. I've hit a home run on like every day, okay. Now I go get to treatment and a happy birthday.
All right, we're here this mid-morning, 11:07 in the clubhouse. We're going to interview Mike Borda. Got a few questions for the veteran infielder. What a tremendous player he was for the Orioles coming over from Oakland. Mike, my first question is, from a player's standpoint, what was the difference in playing in Memorial Stadium and the new Camden Yards Stadium? Was there a huge transition? Were the fans the same? What do you remember about those two stadiums?
That's a good question, Caleb. Thanks for asking it. Of course, I was really young playing in Memorial Stadium. I remember just a lot of that great history, you know, because the Colts used to play there as well. So Johnny Unitas used to be in that same kind of locker room we were in. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, the Orioles had a great history, and Memorial Park was... definitely one of those old stadiums. You kind of feel the presence, you know, the old ghosts running around. But the batting cage was under the stadium, which was pretty cool. So you had to walk on these planks to get to the back, and there were rats back there underneath. So just a classic old stadium. But, you know, Camden Yards, obviously something special, probably the best ballpark in the game, and continues to be, you know, well, the 25-year anniversary.
Great. That's great stuff. I think that's the kind of stuff people are looking for, that insider info. At least I know I enjoyed that. Look, today's Father's Day. We're all celebrating Father's Day. Is there a specific moment that you remember maybe with your father that really sticks out?
You know, my dad was always my coach when I was young. So I just always think of baseball and my father kind of go hand in hand. Now, there are obviously times where we didn't agree on some things, because I think a lot of father and sons, you know, the kid especially doesn't like to hear the father do the coaching, or how hard typically parents are on their kids. So my dad and I had a back and forth when I was younger, but I, you know, looking back, obviously appreciate every moment we had in the game of baseball together, and it's fun. I still, even when I played, I kind of looked for him for advice, and he was the old school guy that would always say, make sure you stay in front of the baseball and keep a level swing, son. And, you know, that's what I tried to do my whole career. That's probably why I wasn't such a good hitter.
That's hilarious, because that's exactly what my dad told me to do. Stay in front of the ball and throw the barrel, level swing. So anyways, it must have worked out a little bit for us, but... So you're a father yourself, and I'm a father myself, and I was wondering, I get this question a lot, how are you going to coach or teach your son, and what advice do you have for, like, the parents out there? Because I know, coming from a former pro, it's a big deal. I think I have some views on it, but I think yours are going to be the similar. What advice do you have for young parents that are bringing up young kids in baseball today?
It's hard. I think the most important thing for kids is to support them and let them know that, you know, they have to enjoy what they're doing first and foremost, and the work will come in time. But you can't really drive kids, I don't feel, at a young age now, because they'll just step away from it. They'll grab a cell phone. They'll grab a computer game. You want them to be on the field. You want them to be having a good time. And you know, the father being the coach or even a mom helping out a kid in sports, it's hard because there's obviously frustration, but you have to understand that they're out there enjoying the time on the field, and you want at every moment try to stay as positive as possible, because the negative feedback is really what kind of pushes kids away. And interesting story, one of my sons, who's now 17, played baseball and lacrosse as a young kid, and it's hard because the commitments when you get a little older, and he ultimately chose lacrosse, and it might have been because of me, because when he was about 9 years old, he had his lacrosse stick in his hand, and I was trying to help him out with fielding ground balls in lacrosse, which you got to use your legs, much like baseball, and he turned to me and he said, "Dad, did you ever play lacrosse?" And I said, "Well, son, no." And he said, "Well, then, I probably don't need your coaching me in lacrosse." And there it is, point taken right there. They, you know, kids don't want their parents to help them, really. They just want their support and their love, you know. So that's what I've learned. And I've got six kids. They're all kind of off, but, you know, I think we've done a pretty good job with them.
Oh, that's fantastic. Okay, we'll finish up with one last question for you, Mike. I like to ask pitchers and hitters this question. You, as a hitter, who was the one guy on the mound that you looked at and said, "I have absolutely no chance"? And who was the one guy on the mound where you thought, "This is going to be a good day, I'd like to face this guy"?
Yeah, good question. I mean, there are so many great pitchers, you know, coming up through the 90s. Obviously, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez. But it was Andy Pettitte from the Yankees that gave me fits. He threw a nasty cutter. He was always chasing me inside. He threw it to me, not the plate, and I would continue to just either foul it off my leg or swing and miss trying to catch up to it. One of the most embarrassing moments I had was actually trying to hit an Andy Pettitte cutter and falling down in Yankee Stadium trying to hit it. No good right there. But there are other good pitchers I had success off. One, Brett Saberhagen. It just, I don't know, from the start of my career with him in Kansas City, every time I put the bat on the ball, it would find a hole. And ultimately, I think, you know, it kind of wore on him as well, because when he was pitching with the Red Sox, he hit me in the head with a fastball. So I think he took exception to all those hits I was getting off him. But that's it. Yeah, Andy Pettitte was tough on me, and Brett Saberhagen I saw real well.
Well, that's it for this edition of Orioles Pregame Show with Mike Bordick here. I'm Caleb Joseph signing off. Good day, and let's go Orioles.
Now, special thanks, obviously, to Chris Davis and Caleb Joseph for joining us on the pregame show. Stay tuned for Orioles Baseball on the Orioles Radio Network.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Angel, Mike Bordick back at Camden Yards. Yep, in the win column again. Orioles with their second consecutive victory. Bunch of home runs in the series. Today, the Orioles hit four of them. The Cardinals hit four, but they lose it by a score of 8-5. So the Orioles wound up taking two out of three, and yet once again, they're a 500 ball club. Hey, you can't have a winning record until you first get to at least 500. The Orioles have done that here this afternoon. Mike, I'll tell you what, Bordy, it's all about starting pitching. Today, it was all about Ubaldo Jimenez gets one more chance, and today he capitalized on that chance.
Boy, I'll say, you know, he was relegated to the bullpen back at the end of May, and he actually pitched very well for the Orioles out of the bullpen, but the problem was it just takes a little bit too long for him to get going. And today I think he felt strong, he looked strong, had command of all of his pitches, and really did a nice job.
You know, it's a funny thing, Bordy. We talked to Buck Showalter as to why he gave Ubaldo the start here this afternoon, and he told us it, not so much about Ubaldo, but it was about stabilizing the bullpen. That's why Ubaldo got the start today, and little did we know that Ubaldo would stabilize the bullpen by going seven innings.
Yeah, right? I mean, my gosh, when was the last time an Orioles starter went seven innings? I mean, a much needed.
I think it was Wade Miley, 7 1/3 innings.
Yeah, absolutely. So much needed deep start for Ubaldo Jimenez, actually saving the pen. And even though Buck Showalter did have to go down to the pen at the end, you kind of see how risky it is, because Nuno got knocked out with a home run, and then Castro had to make an early exit as well.
How about Chet Smith? You got the Orioles off to a pretty good start in the game today with that leadoff home run.
Well, great way to start the ball game. I think anytime the Orioles can make a mark first against the opposing team, they're at the advantage. And, yeah, you mentioned it. The Orioles' power suddenly came back here this series. It's a more of a welcome home type thing. This team plays so well here and have one of the best records in all of baseball here at Camden Yards. But the power, they hit 10 home runs in this three-game set. 5 yesterday and 4 today.
How about the Cardinals? They hit 12 home runs in three games, and they lost two of them.
How about that? Yeah, battle of attrition, I think, and the Orioles last to stand as they take two of three from the Cards.
Well, Brad Brock came in, picked up a 1-2-3 out save in that ninth inning. It all began Seth Smith in that first inning. 3-2 to Seth Smith. And the payoff is driven deep right center. Fowler racing back. Pipe it, bye-bye. Mr. Smith goes deep. 1-0 Orioles. Smith with a leadoff home run. He's had three this season. His fifth career leadoff home run. And just like that, an Oriole lead. Baldwin Matters went to work that 1-0 lead in the second inning. One out, bases empty. Molina up there to hit. And Scope at second base began what, for the Orioles, was an outstanding defensive game. Ground ball right side. Scope diving. Got it. From his knees. On to Mancini. Got him at first base. A phenomenal play by Jonathan Scope. A marvelous defensive play. Diving to his left. And from right field, while kneeling, his prayer was answered.
Yeah, beautiful job. Good first step from Jonathan Scope, and actually taking a nice deep angle on that baseball. Yadier Molina, pretty good speed for a catcher. But Jonathan Scope taking the deep angle as he has to dive for the baseball. Keep it in the infield, actually sticks in his glove. Makes a beautiful, strong throw from his right knee. Trey Mancini cleans it up on the end.
Fun to watch. Yeah, that was a good idea, too, because just moments after that, and now Piscotty. It's a breaking ball, and the ball driven out toward right center. Pretty deep. Adam Jones backing up. He's going to jump up. Forget about it. It is gone. And it's a 1-1 game. Piscotty, his fifth here in the second inning. And again, that ball carried extremely well, and it gets out of here. Yeah, Camden Yards had become a launching pad over the weekend in the second inning. Mancini was the leadoff hitter. Fastball hit the deep right field. That ball is heading for the corner. That ball is right back there. Wait, bit, bye-bye, boom, boom. He goes opposite field. Over the scoreboard, into the flag court. Number 12 for Mancini. Orioles ahead 2-1. Yeah, then in the third, Smith a single. Then a walk to Machado. After double play ball, Trumbo a big two-out hit. Fastball in, line to left. That's a base hit. That'll drive in Smith with two outs. Pham gets it back into second base. Up, he saw another fastball, and he pulled it for a base hit to pick up the RBI. And then in the fourth inning, two outs, bases empty against Ubaldo. There was Piscotty again. Piscotty fly ball, left center. Adam Jones looking at it, and it is gone. Dead center, a solo. Piscotty a two-home run game to make it a one-run game. Orioles ahead 3-2. So very much a game at that point. Then fifth inning, one out, bases empty. And that's when Carpenter would get a base on balls. Fowler came up to hit, and Mancini these days doing it all. Line drive, Mancini dropped it. He'll pick it up. He'll tag the runner and then steps on first to get the double play. How about that play?
I'll take the hard way, please, for 500. Hey, beautiful play by Mancini on the line drive, actually jumping up to flag this one from going into the right field corner. But he loses sight of the baseball as it bounces out of his glove. Fortunately for him, it lands right behind him, able to apply the tag to Carpenter and get the force at first to Fowler.
That is a gold glove play right there. Made a leaping jump to try to catch it, dropped it, and got lucky when he dropped it. But then the presence of mind to get the double play.
Yeah, nice wherewithal. Trey Mancini doing it all for the Orioles.
Indeed. And then came the bottom of the fifth inning when Jones tripled and then Trumbo came up to hit. And now the 0-1 delivery. Fly ball. Left field. Way back is Pham. Way back is Pham. He's going to jump up. Pipes it. Bye-bye. A Trumbo jumbo with a man aboard. A two-run homer. Orioles ahead 5-2. Yeah, and then Mancini came up. He tripled. So in the fifth inning, Orioles had two triples in the same frame. And then Scope came up to hit. Lynn, he delivers. Scope fly ball into center. Pretty well hit. Fowler backing up, looking up at the wall. He jumps up. He makes the catch. Mancini comes in to score on a ball that might have left the ballpark. if Fowler on the back of the warning track had not leaped and maybe brought that ball back. He did bring it back. And then moments after that. Well, there's a high fly ball into left center. This one could go. It will go. Wave it bye-bye. And it was caught by Darren O'Day in the bullpen way back in left center. Castillo hits one out. And I think it's safe to say that summer has arrived at Camden Yards. That ball is flying. And it continued to fly, but for the other team. In the eighth inning, after a walk, Fowler came up to hit again. And the 1-2 pitch. Fly ball right center. Pretty well hit. Adam Jones racing way back there. And now Fowler has homered in four consecutive games. Hits a ball out to right center with a man aboard. It is now 8-4. And so exit Vidal Nuno, enter Miguel Castro, got two outs. But then he went to work on Molina and the 2-1 pitch. And Molina sends a fly ball to deep left, backing up his record way back there. That ball is gone. Back about 14 rows. Molina, his seventh, and for the Cardinals, a 2-home run eighth inning to make it 8-5. Yep, 8-5. Therefore, for Brad Brock, a save situation. Orioles ahead, 8-5. Brad Brock trying to end the game. He delivers. Playing and a miss. He ends the game with a strikeout. Orioles again in the win column. And hey, they're a 500 team again.
Well, you like it. You got to start somewhere. The Orioles were certainly on the skids, but a great pitching performance here today by Ubaldo Jimenez, and it's nice to see the Orioles offense have back-to-back huge outputs.
There you go. Bring on the Indians. Mike Bordick will continue our postgame activities right after this.
Well, the Orioles with the big output, and of course, Ubaldo Jimenez with a strong performance. I'm sure Buck Showalter has something good to say. Let's go downstairs and take a listen.
What's up? Not good. Not good. We'll wait. Took an x-ray here. Saw something that concerned us. Probably, I know he's got a scan in the morning. And we'll have a little more definitive idea there.
Was it on the top of the wrist, the ball? I mean, where exactly was
right,
it?
Right there. Everybody see where Ed pointed? I think it's here. I'm not sure. Richie pointed it out to me, but, you know, had a few other things. Yeah, we get hit. What, we have four hit by pitch this series? And none of them intentional, but it's, you know, doesn't make any happier.
Ubaldo really stepped up after that.
He was good. I can't tell you how few pitchers in baseball would have pitched seven innings in that type of weather, heat. That was pretty remarkable. You know, last time he had a short stint in the bullpen, came back and pitched real well. We're hoping that happens again. We're going to need some things like that. Really shorten the outs we had to get out of the bullpen, which has been a struggle for us.
How much do those early runs kind of help him?
Pardon? So
how much do those early runs sort of help him confidence-wise or settle into the game? Do they at all?
Well, it doesn't hurt, you know. He had one, went back out and gave up a run, then came in after the next time we scored and put a zero up there. But, you know, days like that, it takes a lot of discipline and, you know, keep pushing because there's so many lures to give in during a day like that. And, you know, he never gave in. He knew what we needed, and he delivered it. But I can't tell you the challenge of playing. You know, we basically had a day game yesterday, and you know, we're in a stretch. We're at 21 games in a row. Real proud of everybody today. There was a lot of intensity there. Infield play was really sharp today. But, you know, there's some, you know, a little damper on it with JJ, but see what that, hope for some better news and first thought.
I think you mentioned yesterday about, you know, sensing that it's getting that time of year here where the ball's starting to kind of carry.
Since I've been here, I've never seen the ball carry like it carried today. I mean, there's a couple of them, and we benefited too. One ball that Piscotty, first one hit out in right field, I turned my head. I was talking to Miley at the time, and I kept looking back again, and Adam was still moving. We have days like that here. I agree with Rick Dempsey. I don't think there's a tougher place to play in the summer for about a month than this place. But we've been pretty, in our place, we've been pretty lucky last couple of years where we hadn't got as much of it. But today it really put a challenge on you.
Do you think that when – I know you wanted to get out of it easier, but you had a difficult inning there in the eighth with Nuno and Castro. Was it disappointing to have to go to the
You know, they're going to make a run at you. The weather and the way the ball's carrying. I mean, the thought – if you had told me after the first inning that we were only going to give up four runs, you know, five runs, I'd have been real happy with that. Yeah, I feel like we'd been in a game. But I thought Castro had a couple of key outs because, you know, there was some of that, you know, people know that, you know, we've had some struggles in that situation. But when he came in and got a couple of quick outs, even though it made it for a solo home run, you know, it made Brad have to pitch. Brad's had a lot of rest, so he's ready to go. And he only threw 11 pitches and shortened again today, so he's really been efficient. I don't know where we'd be without Brad. You know, we got to try to keep everybody in mind that we have 94 games left. There are a lot of baseball. And that's a good baseball team we play, and we got a real good one coming in, defending American League champion.
Back to Ubaldo, what is the difference between him? Because he did get into some deep counts early on and kind of had to battle a little bit at times early on. I mean, what's the difference between him getting through, you know, seven innings on a day like today and maybe a shorter start like the ones we see?
I just think he has a, you know, he may not admit it, but there's a kind of a mental edge there that, hey, you know, I've taken a step back and, you know, the club needs me to deliver something. And, you know, I think part of it, quite frankly, is he knew there wasn't somebody that was could come in and pitch in the third or fourth inning. There is. We wouldn't do that. But, you know, for us to have a chance to win today, he was going to have to pitch six or seven innings. We had to use Mike to win the game yesterday. There's, you know, there's a cause and effect of everything. Happy Father's Day. Go call your father. Sure wish I could talk to mine. So go do it. He'd have a few choice words for me up until the last couple of days. He still would. What else? Good? All right, thank you.
Good words there from Buck Showalter. Obviously excited about the Orioles offense, putting up some big runs here. Today scoring eight, yesterday 15 runs.